listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, are we excited to be here or what? Me and my Firebird behind me there. We're going to talk today about how to get clients, no matter what your business is. And I have my resident expert, Joy, who's been here with me many times before, to join me on. We're going to talk about crushing your client enrollment. Joy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here after a while absence. Yeah, you know what? I was supposed to be here last week, but then, I don't know, something happened with the tires, and that took several hours, amazingly, right? You think things are just at your fingertips, and sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not. So, you know, 4 hours later, it is what it is. And that's like whether anything that we do in life. Sometimes things just take longer.
They do. And, you know, we live in a world where everything's supposed to be download and double click. And I want to talk about that in a minute. But the first thing I want to do is have you talk a little bit about Sam. Right before we started, was asking about your banner there, Joy Flukiger, in case you don't know how to say that name. Yes, it's complicated. Joy
Flukiger. Yeah, I know how to say it.
No, you do.
Yeah, but it took a while too, though. It's like, what in the world?
Red Aussie Multimedia. So talk about that. Who are you and what do you do?
Red Aussie Multimedia. Well, I started off with Red Aussie Publishing. I'm sorry, my screen is jumping around here. I'm kind of trying to orient myself. Red Aussie Multimedia started off as Red Aussie Publishing because what I had been doing for several years is publishing books. And I started actually, Kellen, publishing your books. And then I joined a group of like-minded people where we discussed the whole publishing piece. And as anybody who has written a book or published a book or is in any type of marketing situation, it's not just one thing that you do. So it's publishing, but it's not just publishing. I do public relations. So I create news releases for clients and I send them off over the Associated Press wire and, you know, compile graphics for clients when things come back. So it is talking about publishing. That's one piece of it, but it really has expanded, especially with the different social media platforms. When you think of when, like I love Pinterest. When was Pinterest? 2010. Well, I think it was, you know, a few years in there, 10 to 15, somewhere like that, I started to do publishing books. But with all of these other social media platforms coming on and people looking to promote their book on other platforms and then create a course, things really just morphed away from just Red Aussie Publishing, which is one piece, to really expanding it to multimedia, because that is really what it is. And I think most of us entrepreneurs in one way or another are in a multimedia business. Just like a multimedia, we're on a radio show, LA Talk Radio, live radio show. We do, you know, a podcast. I mean, there's a million podcasts out there. So it's not just a, you know, one trick pony. We're just doing this. I think majority of people have expanded and are doing multiple things, and you just try and capture it under an umbrella. So that's the multimedia part.
So one of the things I know you do is you're an expert at getting YouTube videos ranked. Talk about some things that are about that. Why is that so different? Why YouTube? And I don't want you to spill all your secrets that people pay you for, but tease us.
One of the key pieces with video, and you'll hear that with a lot of things, is SEO, search engine optimization. So when you have a video, what are people look? Is it a trend that people are looking for? Is it a title that a, you know, reasonable person who's looking to search for a topic, would they search for that topic? What happens with many people, and I'm guilty of this too. I did this in the beginning as well. And I think of, when I say the beginning, it's like, you know, over the past how many years we've been on YouTube and various channels. You tend to want to promote yourself. So for podcast episode, for example, you'll say podcast episode number 323, or you'll say your name of your business, you know, Grubhub, blah, blah, blah. And you have to think, unless, okay, Grubhub, I mean, maybe people are searching for that, but people aren't searching for podcast episode number 323. They're not just searching for that generic term. They're really, most people are searching for something specific. How do I make money online? Or, you know, and even dig deeper in that, because depending on what search comes up, there could be hundreds of millions of searches come up. So the next time you do that, you narrow it down. And one of the key things that I try to impart to people is, what would you do? Like, would you find your own stuff? Would you be able to search and your thing comes up? Because that's what I do. When I think of a title, I think, is somebody actually searching for this topic? And it could be that sometimes things are just very obscure. So if it's an obscure niche or genre, okay. But for the most part, if you're in coaching or consulting, you're an entrepreneur, you sell something, you're making some sort of personal transformation, you have podcast episodes. So normally we'll talk about podcasting for just a second, you have a particular type of podcast. Now, Joy, I like to listen to several things. I mean, everybody who knows me knows I'm a huge Gary Vaynerchuk fan. I'm like, he's like, oh, you know, what he says goes kind of thing. And so I like him, but I also like to listen to comedy. Like, this is something really funny, either late at night or in the morning. So, and I mean, really laughing out loud, kind of funny stuff. So there are a couple of podcasts that I really like to listen to. So when I'm searching for something, let's say on YouTube, I try to be now as narrow of a search I can to find exactly what I'm looking for. So when we talk of things like what people can do or mistakes, one of them is having a crap title. There are so many AI tools out and about now. I use Goody because my good friend Armin Morin, he created his own called Goody, goody.ai. It's fantastic. I'm not a shill for him or anything. I know, one lady made a comment one time a while ago of one of our shows. Sounds like the Shopping Channel. I thought, you know, it probably did. It's like, ladies, run to the phone. Anyway, I digress. So, you know, choosing the titles. Now, you can put a title into an AI program and ask the question, is this a good title to use for the YouTube video version of my podcast for these people? And then, you know, you'll get an answer. So I always do that. Like, every single episode, I always run it through my AI to see if I'm kind of on track. Then I go to YouTube and I see if people are actually searching for that. And you'll know, because hopefully, like, obviously, you know, a bunch of videos are going to come up. And if they're really popular people, you're going to be in good mix with other people. Because I've done that with our videos. We've competed against some really big names out there, Tony Robbins, and, well, I can't think of anybody else at the moment, but let's just use him. And we've been like 1-2. I'll take it. And it's pretty good, because when you come up high in a search ranking for a video, people don't like to endlessly scroll. So you don't want your stuff way at the bottom, because nobody, I promise you, was going to see it. So choose your titles well. Here's another key. Now, this is something that my clients pay me for. I'm going to give it away to you. Name your video the same thing as your title. Make sure there's no mismatch there. They got to be matchy-matchy, just like in the old days when your shoes matched your handbag and you had gloves. Matchy-matchy is the key for that part. So that's one piece that really makes a difference. And also, I think another big piece, especially when we're talking about SEO, is tags. I use a program called TubeBuddy. VidIQ is also good. Either one of those is really good. I'm just more familiar with TubeBuddy because I've been using it for several years. It can help you with tagging, because the tagging is what people are looking for, that sort of that phrase of things that people are looking for. And the good thing, interesting thing with TubeBuddy is that it ranks it. it'll give it a ranking of, let's say, a 61 out of 100. So if you have a key phrase that the little number beside it is 5, nobody's really searching for that. But if it's a high one, like 61, 78, those are the kinds of things that people are searching for. So something to do, like I just said, with Tony Robbins or whatever. So they're searching for those terms. So it's good to be in that mix and not to be deviate or listen to somebody who says that you should go in a different direction. I wouldn't do that. And the other thing is, never put in like podcast. That's valuable real estate. Above the fold, just like on a newspaper, they put their most important material text up at the very top. Same thing in a YouTube video. Put your most important piece right there so people can look and search for it. Is that too long-winded?
No, that's fine.
It
does answer.
I need a drink now. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So it's clear that you're really passionate about this stuff. And what's also clear, it's interesting, is that you're really educated, informed, and really good about it. And it's funny because, you're my wife and my business partner, and we've been married now longer than you've been doing any of this. And the reason I mention that is because this is something you have learned to do. It's something that you said, I'm going to learn, and you've dug in, you've done the research, you've taken classes upon classes and sat at the feet of whoever and whatever. Yep. And the reason that's important is because this podcast is about creating your ultimate life, a life of purpose. Right. Prosperity and joy. And a lot of times people get this idea that you have to have some kind of lucky breaks, or you have to be born with something, or you have to have, either good luck or silver spoon or whatever it is. Yeah. But I, firsthand, I have watched you learn this, get good at it, build it, go from not knowing anything about it to learning something, to getting excited, to diving in deeper, to, on and on and on, until now you're absolutely an expert that can sell and does sell skills and makes money and has fun. Mm-hmm. And has fun. Anybody that thinks, and after watching her talk about it, that she doesn't enjoy this is crazy. She does. She loves the analytics.
I didn't start off that way, though.
You didn't. That's my point.
I just loathed it. It's like SEO, it's like, I don't know what the heck that is. And it's sort of like, back in the day when I had to take a class, physics class in university, I'm like, oh, good grief. Why? I hated every second of it. But, and same to do with that and Facebook ads, but that's another story. But with the analytics piece, that is really the key to, cracking the code of getting some visibility. And there's so many strategies. It's not really gaming the system. It's getting better and better and using that knowledge to improve. Everybody knows most people know who Mr. Beast is on YouTube, like one of the biggest dudes in the world. And when he was on one of our, because of this mastermind I belong to, he said that I think it was his first 200 videos, like he absolutely hated. Not first 5, not first 10, first like 200 videos. He absolutely hated them. But he said it's important to do that because hopefully, right, you get better and better and better. And then, you start to notice things yourself. It's like, well, I can improve on that thumbnail. I can maybe improve on that text. And you just start to learn things. And then you start to, if you're going to search out people who you can partner with or who can help you, then, you're in a different place. Because I'll use LinkedIn as an example. We get bombarded every single day. Hey, I can help you with this, or I can do that. And it's like, well, okay, who trained you? Or maybe they're self-taught. So it's like, show me. And I'm open. I'm like, sure, show me what you've done. Show me your clients. Show me how many things you've done. And sadly, it's like, well, they'll show me some screenshot from a video from 5 years ago, or that, that's too old. In this kind of business, that's just, you can't do that. It's like, you have to be constantly improving and keeping up with it. And these platforms, they change so quickly, because the main goal of any platform, whether it's LinkedIn or YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest, is to keep the person on that platform. So they are constantly updating and changing the algorithms. And often you don't even know, you know, you may have been shadow banned, or you may have who knows what. So it's important, extremely important, that if you are on these platforms, to look at the people who are doing well and who are able to crack some of these codes and either learn from them or, you know, get some coaching from them or see what they're doing and mimic as best as you can with that.
So I want to move in. Yeah, of course. So that's exciting. I want to talk now about what we're doing this week, because in the context of building your ultimate life, it's about creating some kind of, you know, living a purpose, creating prosperity, using your gifts and talents, whatever you're good at, what you, your life experience has taught you. And so this week we're running a challenge. It's a 5-day challenge. Yeah. And it's called Crush Your Client Enrollment. Now, the reason you know, a lot of times here on this program, I'll talk about woo-woo stuff, mindset, and, you know, what you believe and all that kind of stuff. And but the reason that I do is because everybody needs to make a living. Everybody needs to either have a job or have a business. You either have a job as an employee or you have your own business. And so whichever of those you try to you choose to do, you know, you have to you like it or you don't like it. Lots of people, the big surveys say 75-80% of people aren't really satisfied with their jobs. It's not surprising. I did a whole episode on that about why that's true. But what we're doing here, this challenge this week, is called Crush Your Client Enrollment. And the reason we're doing it is because there's so many people, entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, financial planners, insurance salesmen, real estate people, people that have to go get their own clients.
Yeah.
And the biggest complaint I hear is two things. One, I can't get enough clients. I can't close them. Or two, I don't have enough prospects. Don't have enough qualified prospects. I don't know where to get them. I don't know where to find them. Where? And what they're looking for, and this is the thing, they're looking for this magic bullet. So tell me some magical thing. Just tell me where to go and I'll go there and get them.
Yeah.
And what they're really saying is, give me a foolproof thing that's guaranteed to work, that isn't hard, where I don't get too rejected. I'm not embarrassed. It's not a big struggle. And I know for sure it'll get me there. Well, there's no such thing any more than there is on YouTube or the SEO stuff you were talking about.
But is that really, is that like really what an entrepreneur is? Because, I mean, we work with entrepreneurs. I work with entrepreneurs. I haven't marketed myself to big companies or anything like that. I just haven't done that, right? So if we're dealing mostly with entrepreneurs, don't you really have to be, you know, where are their guarantees as an entrepreneur? I used to sell on eBay, and I was very good at selling on eBay. But even still, there was no guarantee that somebody would buy my stuff. Sorry, I have a coughing fit.
No, there are no guarantees. And that's one of the first things that we talk about when we talk about marketing in this Crush Your Client Enrollment Challenge is marketing in every case. Jay Abraham, one of the most famous marketers of all time, talked about everything is a test. Which means you're fishing. You think this bait will work. You think you're at the right time of day and the right water and the right temperature because you've talked to some other pro anglers and you think you're in the right place. Yeah. But still, at the time you throw your bait in and your stuff,
they all went home. The fish all left for the day.
Yeah, you know, you have to test it. And here's the key to that. Because we're looking for the easy way, we're looking for the way that never hurts our feelings, or that doesn't waste time, or that, you know, that then we end up giving up. We get disappointed and we get frustrated. And so what this challenge is everything I've learned in the last 15 years, is when I was an executive doing that other stuff, I had a job. Well paid, but it's still a job and I had, you know, defined assignments. So as an entrepreneur, I have to go get clients just like everybody does. And I hated it to start with too. And over the last years, I've learned what are the things. What are the approaches? How do you talk to people? What do you do so that you create a good relationship? And it's not hard sell, used car salesman, you know, yuck. It's just relationship-based, consulting-based. There's a lot of names for it. Selling, and that's what we're trying to teach people. And a big part of that is trying things. Don't get frustrated. Go in for the long haul and stay on the path. Stay on the path.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
So in this particular challenge, there's a 4-step process that I teach about how to get clients. And in one episode here, I don't have time to talk about all of it in detail, but I am going to talk about the 4 easy steps, and they're going to sound really simple. And Joy, as you hear me do this, I want you to think about examples where either in your MLM experience or in eBay or in other things that you've done when you did put yourself through college, silk painting, and just entrepreneurial examples of how this is true and what you did, what that version of it is. And the purpose of doing this is I want the listeners to hear themselves in these examples. So if I give some examples, or Joy does, of each of these steps, I want you to think, okay, how does that apply to me? Because right. My goal here is to help you create your ultimate life. And I'm doing this to share these things with you. So step 1 is, if you want more clients, you have to go where they are. You have to exactly. Go where they are. So yeah. What, if I say that, what does that mean to you?
Go where they are. Well, you know, I'm going to give a food example, nothing in my background, but you know, I like to watch cooking shows and I like to cook. So there was something on some sort of great food truck race, whatever it's called. And so the food trucks had to set up at a particular location and, you know, sell their food. And whoever had the most money at the end of that particular challenge won whatever it was they won. I guess they think they got immunity or something from elimination. So if you're in a, let's say, I think they were in a university town, I can't remember where it was, but, you know, they were looking around trying to see, you know, the best spots to set up where there would be the most foot traffic, because it's a food truck. You're not going to, you don't drive to a food truck place. So where would be, you know, a lunchtime crowd? Where would people like to set up? And so you looked at some teams who really strategically thought about that, and they thought, okay, so they did some sort of Google research, internet research, and said, okay, well, this is a big square. There's a lot of office buildings around here and a lot of people, you know, a lot of little restaurants. So we'll set up here. And another team that, you know, they did something completely different. They went to some park or something and they lost, you know, so go where they are. Yeah, maybe a few people will go to XYZ Park. And it's not like it was in New York City or something. It was some little small town somewhere. But the foot traffic was such that the lunch crowd coming from the office buildings saw a food truck and thought, hey, this is cool, right on. And these other poor guys, beautiful day in a beautiful park, but they just didn't get that foot traffic. So part of that strategy, go where they are, is, I mean, you got to think about it. This isn't download and double click. You know, we have brains, and so let's use them. Let's do a little bit of research. And so, you know what? Those guys in the park, I don't remember if the team got eliminated, however, but, you know, if it's not a fatal error, then you're going to have to rejig. We've all been through that. Every entrepreneur has tons of stories of this kind of stuff. That didn't work. I'm going to go where they are. Where would that be? And sometimes it's not obvious. Just like, I like garage sales. I've been to lots and lots and lots of garage sales, held lots of them myself. And people assume that if you are in a higher income market neighborhood, that there's going to be better stuff. That is not true. Because sometimes those biggest houses don't always have the best stuff. They have hand-me-downs and crap furniture and tchotchkes that should have went to the Goodwill years ago. So you can't just rely on that. So what I've learned over the years is, actually, if you go into some more established neighborhoods where usually people have lived in the same house for 50 years, you're probably going to find some gems in those houses. And that's where looking, go where they are. I've had the best luck. I mean, my gosh, if, you know, I used to would go with my dad, you know, Chopard watches and like crazy stuff at garage sales that you just, you know, blow your mind, right? And it wasn't in the fanciest neighborhoods. It was in the well-established, that you just wouldn't necessarily think, but trial and error has told me that that's to do with that particular thing of go where you are.
So there's an example that I have, a completely different industry. When I opened my recording studio in Phoenix, I was trying to figure out how to get clients. And that was pre-internet. So, you know, I had options. Well, do I put up a billboard? Do I advertise in the Yellow Pages, which are, for those of you that don't know, a big fat book you used to get with, you know, ad businesses and stuff.
I used to hate getting those. It's like, what do you do with them, right?
Anyway, well, the transition years were fun, you know, on the online and Yellow Pages, right? Doorstops. So anyway, I had to experiment. This is practice. So what I found, it wasn't the newspaper want ads. It wasn't the Yellow Pages. It wasn't radio spots. I tried all those things. You know what it was? It was the weekly newspaper that was free called the New Times that appeared free every Friday at Circle K and 7-Eleven and gas stations in one of those newspaper stands. That because that happened to be the one that artists and musicians and others read. And so when I start advertising in the New Times,
guess what?
Then I it. No more Yellow Pages, no more anything. So go where they are.
Do they still have that?
I had to play. I don't know. I haven't been to a city where they have it. Phoenix is where I was at the time.
Well, but I mean, we've been to Circle K's and all that. Because, you know, every time we're there, I mean, I just haven't noticed because, you know, I'm not looking. So I wonder if it's still around. Could be.
Could be. But
make
anyway,
a note to look next time.
Yeah. So that was my hit. I had to play. I had to try this, that, and the other. And then the studio was booked because musicians happen to use that thing. So if you're selling online, if you're selling online, it's exactly the same thing. Yeah. People who have different wants and wishes and needs and associations, they go in different groups, they use different social media, but you've got to figure out where they are. And that's only part one. Part two is you have to go there. You have to show up there. You know, if you found a good social group or you found a good networking group, you have to show up. You have to show up with bells on. You have to show up with good energy. So go where they are doesn't mean drag your sorry butt there, frustrated and negative and closed down. You have to go there all in and open. So that's step one is go where they are. Go ahead.
Can I just make a point though, Kellen, too? But, you know, you say, you know, say about, you know, go there and like actually go there. But it also, I mean, the, you know, you go to a networking event, you invest several hours and you're, you know, you sort of hope to come away, I think most people, with something. But then you can't come across as, hi, I'm Joy, buy my crap. That's just a turnoff for people. So coming across as too needy and grabby, gimme, is a huge turnoff for just about everybody. You know, I'm in the market for a new car and it just, the thought of it is just like, ugh. Cause you know that soon as you open the door, right. It's like, you feel like you're just being swarmed. But it feels like that because it's just like, you know, nobody does that. They don't do that to you at Walmart or they don't do that to you at the grocery store. Just leave me alone. If I have questions, I know you're here. I'll come and get you. But those sales guys, because there's a few of them on the floor in the building, they want you. I mean, they're all competing for you, aren't they?
Right. They're competing for you because it's all commission. All right. Yeah. So that's step one. You got to go where they are. Step two is something called first contact. And I use that funny saying, like first contact. Think of aliens landing on the White House lawn. So imagine a science fiction movie that you've seen where aliens, you know, you see the ships in the sky or whatever, and then they land somewhere, Central Park or the White House lawn or whatever. And in every movie there ever was, the human response, humankind, our response is to roll in the tanks, bring out the military with rows of people with guns and tanks and bombs and loudspeakers and, you know, perimeters and all this stuff. Well, if an advanced civilization is advanced enough to have space travel, they're certainly going to recognize weapons when they see them.
Yeah.
And so what they're greeted with is, hi, we're here to kill you. Okay. And what we do when we meet people is what Joy just said. We go in there with the idea of the only reason I'm here is to get your wallet. So, and we carry this needy energy of give me your dough. And so that's a big turnoff and nobody wants to meet them. So the second step is how do you make first contact? And I use that because of the White House lawn and the Army example. What are the skills necessary to make a delightful impression so that, and have a delightful connection, not just an impression, so that people want to talk to you again? Because that's magic. It really is. And people don't do that. It's like we become aliens the minute we're going to a networking event, hoping to get leads. We grow horns and turn green and we approach everybody like that. So I'm going to give you two words, and then Joe, I want you to talk about this if you got thoughts. The two words are, I would use the word love, but I mean genuine caring, because after all, you're just going to meet some other people and they're there to meet people too. So caring and curiosity. Caring and curiosity. So I'll give you an opposite example and then I'll be quiet so Joy can think. I went to a networking event once and I met some people, whatever, and I was having, it was over, and I was having a conversation with a dude afterwards, and I don't remember what business he was in, and he probably doesn't remember me. But what we both remember about the situation is we're engaged in conversation, and there's this 20-something kid that pushes in between us and sticks a business card in each one of our faces and said, "Hi, I'm Joe Dorkstick. I don't remember. And I sell something," and it was, you know, utility things, some MLM thing. "I just wanted you to have my card in case you need me. So here you go." Now, the reality is he interrupted our conversation rudely, crammed a card in our face and said, like, we needed to know this or whatever. Yeah. And it was his inexperience, but that's Army on the Lawn first contact. So he turned and left, and both this fellow and I, without any prompting or, you know, anything, we looked at each other, and at the same instant, exact moment, we both took the business card, tore it in half, and threw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
And the reason is because needy energy, White House, you know, Army on the White House lawn, that was this kind of first contact. There was no caring about what we were doing or what we might or might not have needed. And there was certainly no curiosity about us. He was expecting that we had just burning curiosity about why he was there and what he had that was going to make my life good. So those things, caring and curiosity. Joy, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, caring and curiosity. People think, not everybody's good at networking. Not everybody's really good at first contact, maybe in the way you are or the way I am. And that does come across. So it's not a one size fits all. I mean, certainly you can learn things to help you in your way, in your version of, you know, caring and curiosity. And it's not going to be the same way I do. Because I know sometimes, Kellen, you'll say, "Oh, well, maybe, you know, if you said, or if you say blah, blah, blah," and however you say it. But it's like, but I wouldn't say that, you know, that's not me. So learning certain skills about networking, I think people would laugh at things in some ways, like, really, you need a networking course? Why would you need a networking course? I don't think you're born with those skills. Some people have a better, you know, my throat is just acting weird today. You know, some people just have a better rapport, an easy, natural rapport with people than others. And you can see that when people try and force a conversation, or this is sort of the best, or maybe it's the worst, is when you meet someone, or they, let's say maybe they come on a call, or if you have a, you know, an event going on or someone or something like that, and they spend, you know, a portion of time trying to impress everybody with how cool they are, like, "I'm a this," or "I'm a that," or "me, me, me." It's like, what does that have to do with the topic? What does that have to do with anything? And maybe they're genuinely not feeling that, but it sure comes across as, you know, yeah, the aliens are coming down and you're ready to, you know, to take care of the situation, because that just comes across as not, you're not going to be curious, because A, they probably told you everything anyway about themselves in the first 30 seconds, and B, where's the rapport?
Thank you for saying that. I want to give you a chance to take a drink, but I want to give you two things. One is, I sucked at networking. I was afraid of it. I didn't like going. I avoided it at all costs. I felt awkward. I never knew what to say. I was stupid. I felt stupid. And so the reason I'm telling you that is I want you to know this stuff is actually learnable. Now, in all the years I've known Joy, and we've been married going on 17 years, she is the best conversation maker that I've ever had the opportunity to meet. So we go to an airport, we'll go anywhere, and she is able and very good at talking to anybody, anywhere, in any situation about anything. And even though I have learned fabulous networking skills, and so much so that when I tell people that I used to suck, they don't believe me, I am still absolutely in awe of her abilities. And here's the reason that's important. This is learnable. And here are the two keys to learning. Caring about someone is a choice. If I go in thinking about what I'm going to get out of it, that energy feels needy. And needy is creepy. You know, if someone feels like someone's stalking you, needy is creepy. So you can get rid of that by not asking what's in it for me. Because what's in it for me is I get to know this person. That's it. Stop there. I just get to know them. And I actually care about why they're wearing those shoes or what they're doing at this meeting or what their week was like. And learning to put your own nonsense aside. And that doesn't mean you don't need business. And you, of course you do. But I'm trying to tell you the best way to get it is to come in needing nothing. Just show up and get to know them. So caring is a learnable skill and it's a choice. The curiosity is on purpose putting in any conversation about yourself off. So start by inquiring. Why are you here? Tell me what about you do. When I start new people I've never met online, and I belong to several networking groups, I'll always say, I am so excited to meet you. Tell me all about your coolness. And just saying that, because tell me all about your coolness, is kind of a silly thing to say, and because I'm opening the floodgates and asking them to tell me stuff, I would say 100%, but I'll say 99.9 just because people are flattered. They like talking about themselves and they open up and tell you stuff. And the secret is in that listening. You can find out if they have any need for what you might have.
Yep. Or if they have any need of, or not a need, but if any interest in you at all too. Because you can tell when people are not interested in you, just in any kind of circumstance or situation, whether you're sitting beside someone on the bus or you're at the grocery store or at an airport, wherever that is. And I'm just genuinely curious about people. So yeah, I do talk to whoever, and it's almost like people are surprised, you know, that someone is being friendly and open without wanting anything from them. Or, you know, it's just, it's almost like in some ways part of that humanity or that simpleness of just talking to any type of person, it just, you know, there's sort of a bit of joy that has gone out of certain experiences and how best to learn about other people and to be curious and caring is to just talk to people. You know, I mean, if they do tell you off, okay, well, you know that person's not interested, but you know, that shouldn't really dissuade or scare us off from being open with other people.
What it means, you know, what's important,
it's circumstantial too.
It is. What it means is that's about them. So if someone's busy or occupied or frustrated or just got out of an argument or got a piece of bad news, you don't know any of that. So them having a negative reaction to you actually doesn't say anything about you.
Right.
And we tend to think, what have I got, spinach in my teeth? Am I stupid or whatever? And 99.9, 100% of the time, it's actually got nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
It's got to do with where they are and what's going on in their life. And yet we turn that into drama about us.
Right. Yeah, we do. You know,
and it's actually nothing. It's not even about you.
Yeah.
It's about they're having a bad day.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can really tell. And like I say, you know, I go on a lot of calls. You go on a lot of calls. And, you know, it's, you know, you can just tell the, you know, those who are just there because fill in the blank. You know, they want something from you. They want your money. They want your this. They want their that. You can tell that they're not genuinely interested in you. And you sense that, and it just doesn't feel good. You know, it's just, I'd rather, you know, and I think a lot of people would just, unless it's the only gig in town, you know, the only doctor, the only this, the only that, you have other choices. And so, you know, we tend to attract people who are like ourselves in some ways. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm not the same person as I was 10 years ago, and neither are you. And, you know, so we hope that we're evolving as humans over time. And, you know, so, and also depending on the type of business we're in, we, you know, I like to think that I like to hang out with people who are like me and who have the same kind of interest. You know, I belong to a podcast group, and, you know, you get to know people, and, you know, you're excited for their success, and you're excited to have them as a guest on your show and you be on their show, because you give a crap about them. So it just absolutely.
So here's what we've got. We've got about 8 minutes left. Really? And so I can't cover nine minutes, I guess, but I can't cover the last two. We're going to briefly touch on the last two steps, because there's four steps. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about, first is caring, you know, curiosity. How do you go where they are? I'm sorry.
Go where they are.
Go where they are was the first step. Step two is first contact. Yeah. First contact. And here's my invitation. So on the screen is a URL. For those that are watching the video, you can see it. But those that are not, it is www.lovecoachsignum. And the M is E-M. LoveCoachSignum. Lovecoachsignum.com.
Yeah. That's a cool name.
It is. And I love that name. And so here's the deal. That is the URL to the challenge we're running, where we're taking an hour a day on each of these steps this week.
Yeah.
And if you want to learn to close clients with ease, like breathing, to where you don't hate prospecting or any of that stuff anymore, because I don't, and I used to, was bad at it, go there. I invite you to go there. It's not quite free, $17, but practically free.
Practically
the information free. Is worth millions if you use it. All right, so step three is called nurturing. Now, it is unlikely that either you or they will become a client of anything on the spot, make a purchase on the spot. Now, that happens once in a while.
Well, especially big ticket items is like very rare. But even smaller, you know, people need to test you out and, you know, get a feel for you kind of thing. And or me, whoever. Yeah.
So that's why this first contact is so important. Because if anything about the first contact feels poison, they're not going to want to hear from you again. Nope. If you go in with caring and curiosity and the exchange is pleasant and they got to tell you about stuff and you were genuinely interested, then setting up a follow-up conversation, either about what they do or about what you do or both, is going to be a pleasant and attractive experience.
Yeah.
And so the nurturing is about several things. It's about good follow-up. It's about providing value for what they need, not just saying stuff about what you do. But see, if you have a nice conversation with them and you learn about what they do, what they need, what's going on in their life, where they're at and everything else, you might send them an article or a video or a text later that you've been thinking about that is related to maybe not even to what you do, but to something they said. And what that does is it deepens the connection. And it's like putting Miracle-Gro on your garden, because finding somebody that cares, which is what Joyce said a little while ago, finding someone that cares is so rare. We live in this poison world of what's in it for me. So talk a little bit about the nurturing aspect to this.
Well, you know, admittedly, and I know you said this to me, that I tend to be, you know, would I be labeled more cynical? Maybe. I don't consider that a bad thing. You know, because you can tell when someone is really just in it for what you can give them. And I think my, you know, cynicism, if I want to call it that, comes from, everybody's a billionaire. Everybody's got a million clients. But that's not true. And I guess, you know, when I hear hypey stuff, my first response is I don't believe it. And I'm often right in a lot of things, you know, and, you know, I mean, we know a lot of people who've been, you know, started at zero and now are making 10, 11 figures, you know, a year. And we've watched them do it. And it did not come easy. It was not, it was hard work. And now they're reaping the benefits of whatever it is. So that nurturing piece, I mean, if you really don't care about that nurturing process, then don't do it, right? Don't do it. But if you do want to attract a certain level, especially the as you go into a higher ticket item, you really gotta, you know, give a crap about people and engage in that nurturing process with people to really, it's not just about, you know, what they can give you, but it's like, do you really want to be around this person? Like, do you really want to, you know, either help? Are they open to whatever it is? You know, I have, I've been sorry on more than one occasion about taking on a, this client or that client because I did it for the money. You know, I thought, okay, they're going to give me money. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I regretted it because they really didn't give a crap about me. And I cared desperately to make them happy and go out of my way and do things and answer endless text messages at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? Like, and so I thought, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. Like, I don't want your money. I just, you know, I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't need the, you know, forget it, because it was just, it was too hard work. So I think the time of, with the nurturing piece, it's like, you know, I am who I am. What you see is pretty much what you get. You know, so it's, some ways it's a bit of a double-edged sword on in some respects that A, I don't mind repelling people who I really don't want to work with. And honestly, I'm not really going to nurture you because you're not interested in me in the first place. You're not genuinely caring and respect me. So I think that's a big key with the nurturing piece, is having that mutual respect. Like, I respect you as a coach and as a professional person and that you're doing, and I'm not going to abuse that. Because I actually wouldn't want somebody to do that to me. And believe me, I've been a doormat with clients enough times that I've just like, forget it, no more. And so you do get a little bit jaded after a while when, you know, these things have happened, but you still need to nurture and put yourself out there and be curious and do all those steps, you know, to get you to the place where you want to be. I think you only have a couple minutes for step four.
I do, so I'm not going to even try it. I'll mention what it is. Step four is the key. Step four is after you go where they are, after you make first contact, after you nurture, step four is close the deal, which is where you actually get the cash. Now, conveniently, we've run out of time.
That's
but here's
funny,
the
Kellen.
Secret.
Next
here's
week.
The secret. People feel like the close the deal is the hard part. Like, I don't know how to turn the conversation to money. I don't know how to propose. I don't know how to. And you want to know something? Closing the deal is the easiest part if you've done the others. If the other's good, the relationship is good, there's mutual respect, and they've seen lots of value, closing the deal is like breathing. But I don't have time to tell you the steps or the secrets, and there are secrets, and they don't involve handling objections, being pushy, doing a takeaway close or this kind of close. They don't involve any of that crap. They involve building on the other steps.
Is that what you're going to talk about next week, is closing the sale?
We could talk about that. Anyway,
I like
so
that.
Here's what I want you to do. We're out of time, but I do want you to go to lovecoachsignum.com. Sign up for Crush Your Client enrollment. Like, I'm giving it away for almost nothing. And the reason I am is because I care. I care about entrepreneurs. My commitment this year is to help 250 million people reach their goals. Create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And here's the thing. I don't need anything. I live that life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. I have fun every day. And joy, I'm married to this. And so we get to have all the fun in the world all the time.
Joy is always in the house, right?
Joy is always
Except
in the house.
Except when joy isn't in the house.
Anyway, so Joy, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you very much.
What I want you to know is this is secrets. This is good stuff go back and listen through this and go to this lovecoachsignup.com. Sign up. Let me serve you. If you need clients, if you don't need clients, don't bother. But if you're a client getter and your business requires that, this is a thing I have mastered. I hope you take this opportunity. Grab all you can get. Live with purpose, prosperity, and joy, and create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.